Have you ever tried really, really hard to listen to somebody, but you still got it wrong? You still misunderstood them. Like Pastor Victor mentioned last week, listening to someone is not just gathering information, but it's feeling the heart and truly understanding that person and where they are coming from. And things get a little more tricky and a little more complicated when we are engaging different cultures. We're communicating with each other from different cultures. One example is at Mosaic House Church here, we do a soccer program for the neighborhood. It's a great program. Many different cultures of people come together to play soccer. And a few Muslim families have joined us. And a few years ago, we decided to invite some of these families to a barbecue we're hosting at the church. And they're really excited. They're like, yeah, we'd love to come and eat with you. And I heard what they said. They'd love to come and love to eat with us, but I didn't fully grasp what that meant. I didn't fully grasp their cultural context. And we had the barbecue ready, everything was good, burgers and hot dogs, and I saw them coming in the distance towards us, and then it clicked. Oh, they're Muslim, which means they only eat halal. They don't eat pork. And I was so embarrassed. So I actually went up to them and greeted them, and they're like, I'll be right back. And I rushed to the grocery store, grabbed some halal, all beef, hot dogs, came back, and they were okay. They totally understood. They were very gracious to us. Has it happened to you ever? I listened to them. I heard what they said, and they told me many times, but it didn't sink into my heart. I didn't fully appreciate them and their culture, and I overlooked their concerns. And listening in love helps us to be considerate of other people's cultures. And that's what we're going to kind of look at today. We're looking at a series called Bless, How to Bless Our Neighbors through B, beginning with prayer, L, listening, E, eat, S, serve, and another S, sharing our story. And today we're going to look at L again. We've been looking at listening last couple of weeks, and today we're going to look at listening to different cultures, hearing them and learning and understanding them. And to do this, we're going to look at a story in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts 21, starting at verse 17, and we're going to look at how two cultures are engaging and trying to understand each other. Okay? Have your Bibles, chapter 21, verse 17, hear the word of the Lord. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews even have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that you can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat strangled of animals, and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end, and the offering would be made for each of them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beauty and diversity you've created. It's so wonderful. We see it in creation, and we see it in peoples. So we praise you for that. And Lord, sometimes it's hard, though, when we're so different, to understand and listen to each other. Especially in these polarized times, it's hard to be on the same page. So Lord, guide us in your word today, so we may be united in you and who you are, Lord Jesus. Guide my small words today for your great glory, Lord, and meet us in this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes, you can follow along. And here's the main theme and goal for today. This is what I believe God wants us to know. We listen in love by leaning on Jesus. Listening in love helps us bless others who are different than us, who have a different culture than us. And this was God's intention from the beginning, that His people wouldn't just be one homogeneous kind of the same people, but there'd be diversity of different cultures, nations coming together to worship the one true God. And the more diverse we are, the more rich our theology and our thinking of God and understanding of God will be. And listening to people with different backgrounds and cultures increases our knowledge and our love of God. However, since we're so different, sometimes conflict will come up. Sometimes we'll offend each other, even unknowingly. And that's why listening in love, kind of rather than just rushing to conclusions, trying to get behind who they are is so, so important. And we are able to do this as we lean into the love of Jesus. He teaches us how to be loving and to listen in that love. Today we're going to look at two points. The first one is listening in love inspires respect. And two, listening in love inspires sacrifice. We listen in love by leaning on Jesus. So let's look at the first one. Listening in love inspires respect. Like today, this passage, we see conflict between two people groups. There was the Jewish peoples and the Gentiles, which basically means non-Jewish people. As you might know, if you go through the Bible, God first chose the nation of Israel for a special calling, to show the whole world what it means to follow the one true God and to live a life of love and justice that He calls us to be. Now, through Jesus coming and through the Holy Spirit, there's now an opening for this calling and this election to all people groups. And the Jewish peoples, they were having a hard time allowing and bringing in Gentiles into their fold, into their worship of God. The Gentiles, or the Goyim as they're called, my friend said that, my Jewish friend said that if someone calls you Goyim, it's not always a compliment. And there's this tension was created. And so Paul, he comes to Jerusalem, where the main Jewish church is, led by James, which is the brother of Jesus. James tells Paul that there's word that you have abandoned, you've let go of your Jewish culture, and you are now forcing other Jewish people to give up their culture. And James says, no, that's not true. So as a way to demonstrate your commitment to Judaism, your respect for Judaism, please take these four men and be part of their purification rites as they complete what's called the Nazirite vow. Well, I'm giving you a little background on what a Nazirite vow is. In the Old Testament, there was a Jewish people split into 12 and a half-ish tribes. And all the tribes had land except for the Levite tribe. They were kind of the pastors and priests of the day. They were the ones fully devoted to God alone. They didn't focus on worldly things like getting more land, but they were spread out across all the Israelites and kind of was responsible to maintain the people's relationship to God. They had a very special place in God's family. Now, those who also want to have this kind of special place or this special devotion, who weren't Levites, such as Paul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, they would then take this Nazirite vow. And Nazirite just means one who is devoted or separated. And they would just kind of, as a symbol, focus on their relationship to God. And in this vow, there'd be a few things. They would wear their hair really long. They couldn't touch anything dead. And also, they weren't allowed to drink alcohol. And in the Bible, there's two favorite Nazirites, John the Baptist and Samson. And the Jewish church asked Paul to be part of this vow. We're not sure if he actually took the vow or just part of some kind of Jewish ritual for purification, but he was part of it, and also asked Paul to pay for the purification rites, which usually meant the sacrifice of animals. And in those days, kings and other people, they would often pay for other people's purification rites in order to show support of the Jewish culture. Now, Paul heard the church's requests and he listened with love. Paul, he could have easily said, you know, man, and because of Christ, I'm free. I don't need to do the sacrifices. I don't need to take vows. Why should I? And if you look back at the Old Testament into the New Testament, the Jewish people sacrificed animals in order to wash away and cleanse their sins. It was a symbol of God washing their sins. And now that Jesus came, the Bible says that he became the ultimate sacrifice. We don't have to, as Christians now, sacrifice animals because Christ paid for our sins on the cross once and for all. It is done and complete. And Paul could have said that, you know, we don't need to anymore. Let's not worry about it. But however, Paul listens to their church, really, really in love, and understands their concern. And he is also a Jewish man. He loves and respects his own culture. And out of respect for the church and for his own culture, he follows through with these Jewish rituals, with these Jewish customs. And in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul kind of gives us his attitude behind why he's doing this. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, though I am free and belong to no one, though in Christ, there's no compulsion to do any of these things or force to do anything, though I am free, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Although Paul is free, he intentionally limits and restricts his rights and freedoms out of respect of others, out of love for others, so that they may know in Jesus. We listen in love by leaning on Jesus. The way we can do this is through Christ. Paul kind of explains this more in another book, Romans chapter 14. Let me read a few verses for it and I will explain it. In this chapter, there's a lot of debate on kind of the particularities of how to worship the one true God. Should we worship on a certain day? Should we only eat certain foods? The list goes on and on. And Paul's like, why are you guys distracted by these? Focus and lean on Jesus. Verse 7 says, for none of us lives ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And whatever you're doing, whether it's worship on a certain day, whether you eat a certain food, you're doing it to the Lord. Verse 9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. So then, why do you judge your brother and sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And verse 17 to 19, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. We are able to listen and love because the most important thing that unites us isn't what day we worship, what kind of food we eat, our cultural customs, but it's Jesus himself. We are here today not because of our culture, but because Jesus died for our sins. So we are forgiven as the ultimate sacrifice. And now we can be reconciled back to God. We can have relationship back to God. And now Jesus, the Messiah, he is with us. And he has brought all these people together because he loves diversity. He loves for us to be worshipped in different ways based on our culture. And when we lean on him rather than our culture, we are able to truly listen in love. We are able to respect somebody who eats something different than us, to worship on a different day, who has a different worship style than us, and we will be able to understand and respect each other. We will love each other as Christ Jesus loved us. We are able then to listen in love by leaning on Jesus. Paul's saying he's our focus, not on these little types of worship. We need to respect each other, love each other, because we are in Christ together. Listening in love inspires this kind of respect for others and for other people's cultures and backgrounds. Let me just give an application of this. A few weeks ago, many of you, and I thank you guys so much, we wrote letters of reconciliation to the First Nation community around Kamloops after the tragic uncovering of the children in the residential school there. And we wanted to do this in a loving way. So we were led by an Indigenous sister who is immersed in her culture. And she led us on how to do this in a loving and respectful way. And she gave us some guidelines by which we were supposed to write these letters. And let me just read it for you. First, we need to use language that is culturally appropriate and spiritually safe. We should keep Christianese to a bare minimum. Christianese is kind of in-house Christian language that only Christians know. Only using them in reference to the church. Do not make statements like, God loves you. Even using nouns and pronouns like God or Jesus can be a trigger to people. Try to stick with Creator. Down the road, Creator's Son may be permissible. But for now, just use Creator. Also, if you quote the Bible, do not give the biblical address like the chapter and verse. Now, the reason we're doing it is not to hide our faith, but out of respect and love. As we listen to Indigenous peoples in love who are really suffering right now because of the church, this compels us to respect. And then our Indigenous sister goes on to say, when we cannot speak Jesus to the people, we must be Jesus to the people. I think that's brilliant. That's the wisdom that Paul is using now. Being like Jesus, leaning on Jesus. And the only way we can do this is leaning on Jesus, trusting in Him, trusting in His love to shine and move through us. And our Indigenous sister writes again, to go ahead of the Holy Spirit this time. That is, if we're kind of, let's go full out Jesus, only Jesus can save them. We could damage this generation and the generations to come. It would damage our witness. So that is why we kind of did it the way we did. After listening in love to the pain of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we wanted to respect and honor them. Okay? Second point is listening in love inspires sacrifice. Out of respect, Paul sacrifices his freedom and also pays for the sacrifices of the four men. Now, this wasn't cheap. If you look at Numbers 6, 13 to 15, let me just quickly go over it. This was what was needed to fulfill the purification rites. You needed 1-year-old male lamb, a ewe lamb or a female lamb without defect, a ram, grain offerings, drink offerings, and a basket of very, very nice bread. And you times all that by four people because there was four people doing the purification rites. That's not cheap. That was a hefty sacrifice. And also in this text, we see the sacrifice of the Jewish church. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of Jewish Christians were upset by the Gentiles bringing their own customs and cultures into the worship of the one true God. And many Jews actually believe that in order to follow the one true God, all Gentiles had to follow all the Jewish customs and rules, including circumcision, including dietary laws, including these purification rites and vows. And there was a big debate of the church, and in Acts 15, we see that the church had a council, and the debate was kind of resolved for the time being, which we see in verse 25. And let me read it for you again. As for Gentile believers, we have written to them about our decision that they should, one, abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. And these rules, or these guidelines, focus on two main things. Idolatry, which is worshiping gods other than the one true God, and also fellowship, or being able to commune and eat together with others. Now, in terms of idolatry, a lot of the Gentile worship ceremonies, a lot of them had to do with food. And they had this, they sacrificed or they gave their food up to their gods. And also, a lot of it had to do with sexual immorality. Part of the worship service was sexual activities. And the church at the time said, we should not condone these things. Separate yourselves, Gentiles, from these things out of respect for your Jewish peoples and out of respect and honoring God. And also, the second part, the blood and the meat from strangled animals, was to be able for the Jews and the Gentiles to eat together. Jewish people, as you know, have really strict dietary laws. They can have meat that's been strangled. Also, for the Jewish person, blood was life. And to eat blood was similar to cannibalism. Can you imagine coming to a potluck and somebody in the corner there is eating human flesh? Oh, that's how a Jewish person would feel if they saw a Gentile with a bloody steak. In order to keep the potlucks less awkward and out of respect, they asked the Gentile believers, just don't eat those type of things. And this was important because in that day, eating together was really important. It signified that you guys, you accepted each other as equals, as partners, as one. And the Jewish church, they sacrificed their desire to make every believer like them, to make others believe and worship like they did. And again, Paul, he had the same kind of attitude. Back in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul, instead of saying, you know, you have to worship like me, he says, to the Jews, I am like a Jew. I worship like a Jew. I participate in Jewish customs, even maybe even animal sacrifices. Not as a way to forgive my sins, but as a symbol to point to Jesus, who is a sacrificial lamb for the world. And also, to the Jews, I'm like a Jew. Or to the Greeks, I'm like a Greek. Maybe I eat pork once in a while. I'm not sure if that happened, but I adapt to their culture. And also in verse 22, then he says, to the weak, I become the weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Paul is saying he's willing to sacrifice his cultural preferences in order to commune and to bring others into the saving knowledge of Jesus. And Paul says a little few more things in Romans again. He says here in Romans 14, verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating, that is, forcing someone to eat what you eat, or judging someone for what they eat, do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. In verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat or drink wine, to do anything else that will cause your brother to stumble or fall. Paul's saying, if it's going to harm your brother, you should let it go. Sacrifice your preferences, your opinion, for the love and respect and the sake of your brother and sister who's uncomfortable with it. This all kind of begs the question, is there something that you or we as a church have to sacrifice which is preventing us from fellowshipping with people who are different than us? There's something that we have to get rid of so that we can fellowship more with people who are different cultures. Maybe it's your choice of songs or your worship style. I'm studying the history of the Christian Reformed Church we're part of right now. And one of the reasons the Christian Reformed Church started was they split from another church for a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons was the use of hymns in church. Back in the day, the Christian Reformed Church didn't believe hymns were good. They only wanted to sing the Psalms, Scripture. Hymns, oh no, we can't touch that. That was so, so important for them. And they split from the church. Maybe, like I said, it's our worship style. Some of us are more maybe expressive and like to dance in our worship. Others are more reserved. We like to focus on the reverence of God. Maybe it's your view of the pandemic. Is that getting in the way of your ability to fellowship and love and commune with others? And maybe it's your view of allowing cultural elements to enter into the church. When I was growing up, there was actually a debate among some of my friends on whether we should bring drums into the church. Because they actually believe that certain drum beats would summon African demons. Therefore, we can't have any drums because that is against God. That hurts my heart. It really does. I love drums. A little more close to home is in the Christian Reformed Church, after listening in love to a lot of indigenous communities, indigenous Christians, a few communities in Canada, they have actually not even permitted, but celebrate now the use of smudging in church. Out of respect for the culture, the majority culture sacrificed their preferences to allow this kind of cultural practice. And in their discerning, they wrote a nice brochure, and this is kind of what they talk about smudging. Like church bells, smudging informs people that an act of worship is about to begin. And there are many types of medicines used in smudging. One of them is sweetgrass. It says here, the sweetgrass reminds us of our impurity before the Creator. Covering oneself in the fragrant aroma of the sweetgrass is a confession of our need to be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are reminded that Christ loved us and gave His life for us as a sweet-smelling sacrifice that pleased the Creator. Ephesians 5:2. That's beautiful. Kind of like Paul saying, you know, I don't need to sacrifice animals, but it's a symbol that points to Jesus. Indigenous Christians have said this smudging is a symbol that points to the purifying work of Jesus. Now, are we, would you, I'm not saying we should do this, but are we willing at least to listen in love to different cultures like indigenous peoples and consider sacrificing our style of worship to make room and space for them to express themselves in their cultural created identity? Our way, your way of worship is not the right way. It's only one way. It's probably a good one, but it's only one way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is whom we put our hearts toward, not our own cultural practices. And when we listen in love to others that are different than us, it inspires us to sacrifice. And we are able to do this. We're able to listen in love by leaning on Jesus. Just as Christ sacrificed everything for us, He gave His life for us. We now are called to sacrifice ourselves, our rights, our opinions, our preferences for each other. There's a beautiful passage in Philippians 2. We won't read it all today, but Philippians 2 says, 2:5-8, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself by being obedient to death, even death on the cross. Christ sacrificed Himself for us, and now we, with Christ in us, Him helping us as we lean on Him, we enjoy, should be willing to sacrifice ourselves, our way of worship, for the sake of others. Listening in love, one, inspires respect and also inspires sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying here today we should do this, do that in the church. All I'm saying is that we should not, that before we make judgments about different cultures, we are to listen in love. Be humble as Christ was for us. And learn. Be open to learn what God may be teaching us through different cultures. Now, it's not going to be easy, I'm saying. Like the early church, it's probably going to be messy. There might be, you know, mistakes along the way. But that is why we continually need to lean on Jesus. Not our own wisdom how to go about this, but the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We listen in love by leaning on Jesus. God, who revealed Himself in Christ, He loves diversity and culture. He made you who you are. And gave you the culture you are in. And He calls all of us to listen in love to the beautiful diversity among us so that we will draw closer and closer to the heart and love of God in Christ. God is calling us upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail, to listen, to respect, and to sacrifice for His glory. Let me just end with a prayer. This actually prayer comes from one of the communities that discerned to do smudging in the church. It's called a smudging prayer. Let us pray. Creator, our Father in heaven, we come to you as our children, as your children. We confess that we are weak and broken images of you. We pray for the forgiveness and healing you give in Jesus Christ. May His Spirit clean our spirits, minds, hearts, and bodies. We pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to worship in spirit and truth. We pray in the name of Jesus, so that His Spirit will carry our prayers to you. Amen.